Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. All right, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Path to Podcast Success. I have an incredible guest with us today, and that is actually Mario Ficini. And as a high school educated college dropout, never having a real job, Mario spent years as a dead broke consultant, wasting too much time chasing down the wrong clients, believing in his heart that the sky's the limit, but waking up every day feeling like because of his background, for him, the limit is the sky. Until he created a simple and easy to follow blueprint to attract prospects to him with little effort using the tools and knowledge that he already had in his business at his everyday disposal. Now he's one of the most in-demand client acquisition strategists in the country, having clients apply for his training, thank him for the opportunity to work with him, and sharing in the joy of creating the transformation in their business, which he continues to do in 59 days or less, having helped his clients in total generate over $1 million in new sales. That is incredible, guys. So I think we are in for a treat today. I think you are going to really enjoy this interview. I know I did. Enjoy and leave a rating if you find any value from this. Mario, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really excited to have you here.
It's a great day and I'm excited to share with your audience.
So I like to start in the same place with everybody, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you first started, and did that fear actually end up coming true?
I would say yes, it did come true, but I'm glad I got started with it, because the biggest fear I had was like, how do I go about it? How do I put all this together? There are so many moving parts, and you just got to go for it. I mean, you're probably going to screw up. You know, what if I don't have content this week? What if I have so much content, I don't have time to edit it? Do I have the right microphone? I mean, there's a million and one things that could be, but what I tell my clients is just start where you're at, because all you really need is that desire, that passion. Get someone on the microphone. They don't even need to be on camera if you don't want to, but there's apps for your phone. You can record the phone calls. There's one I really like. It's called Ringer, R-I-N-G-R. And I've told some of my clients about it, and it will record the audio from your side of the phone and mine, then stitch it together. So really, there's no reason you can't do it, other than you get so much in your own head, you stop yourself. It's easier now than ever. But stuff will go wrong, so expect it to and just roll with it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that I've found throughout the process of starting my podcast, is there's just so much, you know. Oh, you record the episodes, and then you have to find guests, and you have to edit all of the episodes, and then you have to figure out all the marketing. Oh, how am I gonna build up the launch? How can I get max the majority of listens? But like, it's gonna happen, you know. Just start, and it'll get its groove as time goes on, you know. Yeah. So a similar question, is there a regret that you have from when you started the podcast to now? If you knew everything that you know now when you started, is there something that you would have done differently?
There's a lot of stuff I would have done differently, but I don't think it's a regret, because I've been doing everything in my power possible, nonstop, consistently for a long time. I don't feel like there was a time where I was just going, oh, I don't want to do it or whatever. I mean, I would feel that way or think it for half a second and then be like, okay, shut up. And then I'd go do something. I've been maxing what my capabilities are, bringing more people onto the team to help with it. The biggest thing I would say for anyone that's listening to this is know that iHeartRadio, once you have your host, your podcasting host, you need to wait 2 months with iHeartRadio. The rest you can start right off the bat. So if you're looking to launch on the first of a month, you want to be setting up the hosting directory, the RSS feed, prior to that, because it's going to take 2 months, not from when you launch, but from when you sign up for the account. So, and I was happy to find out, you know, I launched mine February 1st, and I signed up for the RSS thing like January 8th, 9th, or 10th. So it was actually counting that date, not my launch date, which was cool. But you do, there is a two-month delay on that. The other thing is, if you're considering doing an app, you there's a lot of approval processes, there's a lot of time, and there's things you have to do that are going to take another 4, 6, 8 weeks. So get started on that. It might seem like a lot. I don't even have my first episode. Why am I thinking about the app? It's because you need 10 episodes or more to enable to do it, along with the developer license, along with the time to build it. And again, that's another 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even upwards of 3 month window that I didn't have that as a jump start because I was learning it as I was going. Had someone told me or I knew, I would have started it a month or two before and signed up way earlier. But it's not a make or break in your first week or two. But I like to push everything out of the way because now I'm going with episodes daily and all kinds of stuff. I'm doing mine on video and I'm still dealing with stuff of that. And I'd like to be done with it knowing it's all settled prior, ideally prior to launch, but definitely now that things are ramping up, it's a thought from January that I would like to be done with.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's good to get those things out of the way as soon as possible, especially because, like you said, iHeartRadio and the app, it takes a couple months to get it squared away. So start with that and then start getting guests and recording interviews and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because the guest process, the promotional process, the editing process, this is all ongoing. Trust me, there's plenty you can do to keep you busy. It's just all the, you know, the variables, the stuff you only have to do one time to set up. You don't need to make a new app every month, but you do need to generate new content, interview more people, edit the episodes, promote the episodes, and then I'll add in re-promote the episodes. So after you've got 10 or 20 of them, don't forget about them. Bring them back a month later.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, you don't have to just promote them once. They're there. They're not going anywhere. So yeah. So let's transition a little bit. How do you use your podcast in coordination with your business? Have you used your podcast to help with things like marketing and sales? And how has your podcast been a part of all of that?
I absolutely do use it with my business. It's now the centerpiece of it. And I would say even with my speaking, but when you're talking into this puppy all the time, you're always speaking. You're always, in my case, you're always on camera. You always have new content. And here's a leverageable thought that I think a lot of people need to know. When you're looking at it and you say, I want to do public speaking. I want to publish a book. I want to get more clients. I want to do all these things. Look at them as a whole and how you can use them on top of each other. Because instead of going, oh, I have all this marketing to do, you can put just as much time into marketing and advertising your business just for an email going out or just some random Facebook post. When you have a center point, you can always drive people back to your show. So now I'm not looking at it as going, I have the show's marketing and my business marketing and this random marketing. It all has a bigger purpose. So now all the marketing you're doing and advertising, it's easier to drive them back. And you're going to have to do it for the show no matter what. Whether you're doing it currently or not for your business, you should be. But I've noticed whenever you have a book, I help people publish books and I have multiples of my own. When you have a book, I notice people advertise more because they have something. When you have a show, you have something. If it's videos, you have something. When you're just like, oh, I got to do this social media again just to talk about my business, it's hard for a lot of people because we have the hearts to want to help others not talk about us. So I found it's pretty awesome and it's actually easier now to go, hey, let me talk about Brian. Let me talk about Tracy. Let me talk about Susan. And you advertise it, but inadvertently you're going, here's episode 30. Here's episode 35. Here's episode 40. So you're getting that reciprocal effect. You get to showcase other people, and it's also promoting your business. I don't do all this stuff all day long for the show and then go, okay, I need to make a random post about, you know, something else. It all is leverageable. So figure out what you want to promote. What do you want to be your centerpiece? And then talk about that. And people will naturally just find the rest. You don't need to kill yourself talking about every last little thing.
Yeah. And that's something that I am using my podcast for as well, is the social media and the marketing. Because without the podcast, I wouldn't really know what to talk about. You know, like what am I going to say? But with the podcast, I'm talking about the guests, I'm promoting them, I'm talking about all the things that we talked about, like giving me a bunch of ideas about things to talk about, you know, because I'm listening to you and we're learning from each other and we're talking and having a conversation. So that's a lot of material that I can use to promote my business and the podcast and you and all the guests and all that. So, I mean, yeah, you get a lot of content from a podcast, that's for sure.
There's always something you can be talking about. And we didn't even touch on the changes that go on in the industry. I think a lot of people focus on what's the new and relevant content, which is great. Be on top of that so you can be the thought leader in that area. But don't forget, you have so much just, I mean, I would never even have to look at the news to find something to be talking about with all the great people I've been able to help and all the businesses that had the transformations. Now, I salt and pepper that stuff in, but I'm not sitting here racking my brain going, is this the news article I should use? Is this one? I advise everyone to be a producer and not a consumer. And when you're kicking off more content than the news can keep up with, you're doing something right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's good. So let's transition a little bit again and talk more about the back end of things. And your podcast process. Do you do all of the various aspects of podcasting, from interviews to editing to post-production, or do you outsource?
Yes, to both. So what I was advised was to do it myself because it will make me a better host. And I didn't want to hear that because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Straight up, it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
I will say after. Well, I'm not going to label them now because this is going to be evergreen. But after a whole lot of episodes I've now done, shot, edited, I will say it has made me a better host. And I've already heard people say in just the first month or two of launching, they're like, wow, you're improving really quickly. And that's exciting to me because that's really my goal, is to be the best host or interviewee for you or the host for my show. And when the guests come on my show, I had the biggest blessing yesterday, did another interview, and it's someone who has done a ton of them. You know, a lot of the people I bring on, they're not brand new. They're industry veterans. They're the CEOs of multimillion dollar companies. And she's the CEO of one in the United Kingdom. And she goes, thank you so much. I was so comfortable. Most people never make her that comfortable on an interview, let alone on camera. And I was like, I'll definitely take that because I have not been doing this for, you know, 30 years or whatever. I just had an idea. I ran with it. And I've always set myself to say, I want to improve and be better than I was yesterday. And that's pretty much what's guiding me with it. It's not like I was in the news for 30 years and it's my background. Video production's my background, but all this other stuff I've done, interviews in the past and modeled and acted in things, but I don't know if all that translates. It's just be better than you were yesterday. And the reality is, if you listen to episode 1, 2, and 3 versus the newer ones, you can hear and see the difference. And I've noticed it myself. So I would advise everyone to edit in the beginning. I realize now it depends how quick you are with it. Don't let it ruin your life. But at the same time, I also am growing my team to help me with the video side and just help with everything. I've brought on about 4 or 5 more new people because the way I'm doing mine on video live HD every day it's a lot of work. If you're doing it weekly or even bi-weekly, I would advise you to get used to the editing at the very least so you can know and respect it. But there will be a time where it's probably time to give it out to someone, you know, once you feel comfortable as a host. But don't, I think too many people want to outsource everything. They're running a business themselves or in a local area, which is great, but they're trying to duplicate Microsoft and they're trying to duplicate Apple, whoever the big company is. And they go, well, they outsource. Well, yeah, they have the money and energy and time to, and their R&D department's going a million miles an hour. You've got three people. You have the time to do it right and be good at it, because if you never learn how to do it right, you'll get into episode 100, 200, 500 and still be doing it bad like you did the first 10. And that's not good. And you can't blame it on the editor that they didn't know how to do it. Well, you never guided them because you never knew.
Yeah, that's a good point. Being able to immerse yourself in the podcasting process like that will undoubtedly make you a better host, better interviewer, better interviewee on shows like this. It gets you an appreciation for that process. And you know, it's good to know what's happening. You know, even if you're not an expert in audio editing or video editing or any of that kind of stuff, you know, it's good to know what's happening, you know, have a basic understanding. And I love, I agree with what you were saying too about it's definitely a process. Your episode one isn't going to be the best piece of content anyone's ever made. It's episode one. It's like the before picture, you know. There's got to be a before picture if you want an after picture. And so you start out with episode one, and even by like episode 10, it's going to be better than it was at the beginning. So, you know, I think that's something that a lot of people are afraid of as well, is how it, if they've never done it before, they're afraid of it being bad quality or they're not a great interview host or something like that. But it just takes time and practice. So,
yeah, it was interesting what you're talking about, episode one and episode 10. Don't worry about the first 10 or 20, just do them.
Yeah.
And my episode one, I shot September 13th. And then episode two was a couple weeks. I did like three in September, three in October, four, whatever the math came out to. I did my first 10 to 12 in like 3 to 4 months. It was basically a weekly show at that point. That wasn't the intent, but just trying to figure everything out, never doing it, I was averaging about one a week. So when I was like a month away from launch, I go, oh my gosh, I need to, you know, in trying to schedule people and book people, if you're not doing interviews with other people, it's going to be a lot easier just to kick out the episodes. Because scheduling alone, I mean, you're dealing with people, especially high-level people, half of them, they're traveling. Hey, I'm back from Hawaii for the month. Let's shoot now. Okay, cool. And you have to make that work. But what was interesting is 1 through 10 to 12-ish were all the ones that took 2-3 months. So the week of launch, it was like episode 1, 2, 3, and I'm going through everything and I go, wow, this is a dramatic improvement. You're listening and watching it going, wow, he's improving a lot in 1 week, but it was really 2 or 3 months. What the fun part though, I'll never forget this week. I shot 9 in 1 week. In the month of January before launch, I shot 21 episodes and I go, I wonder how many I can do once I get good at this. I still had not launched. And I'm having some fun with that. I'm having some real fun with that. Just to, again, how much can you do? How good can you be? If you can pull this off not knowing a thing, what would it take to be doing maybe 20 instead of 9 in a week? What about 20 in a week? What about 30? Could I do 60 or 90 episodes in a month? Maybe you want to have that much in the back content, or maybe you just want to take off for a month or two.
Yeah.
Whatever your story is, the question is what's possible. And that's the fun part to me.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, I haven't even launched yet and I've got 3 interviews today, 3 interviews tomorrow. I had 2 yesterday. And last week it was similar. You know, there's lots of time, you know, you can use that time, crank out the interviews. Get ahead. That's something that I know a lot of podcasters have a hard time with sometimes, is
keeping ahead like that, because I've had clients, because I do podcast editing and production, and I've had clients who they'll miss weeks at a time because interview guests canceled on them or something like that. And there was no, they were doing it week by week, you know, they didn't have anything scheduled in advance. So, you know, think about what's possible, try to schedule as many as you can and keep ahead. So yeah. So do you release an episode every day?
I do.
Nice. Is it all interview or do you kind of intermix interview and solo episodes?
Both now. So okay. My intent was interview 7 days a week. And within the first week of launch, something in me was just like, I was more calm for the launch and all the craziness leading up to it than the week of the launch. And after 5 or 6 days, I go, I know what it is. It has nothing to do with the microphone. It has nothing to do with the lights. It has nothing to do with the guests. That was all. I was very comfortable with that. It had to do with me. I have advised people for years, don't work nights and weekends, spend time with your family, be fully present. And I think one of the things that I share on Facebook is stop the glorification of busy. And I think so many people are just out there just doing stuff. They don't really know what they're doing. So they'll just work and work and work and this whole grind, grind, grind. I'm saying be willing to put in and do whatever it takes to reach your goal and understand the process. What I'm not saying is don't work 22 hours a day just for the sake of saying, oh my gosh, I'm working so hard. There, most of the people I know doing that are making under six figures. All the people I know that take the most time off are generally well over seven. And wow. I'm not saying this to say, well, it has anything to do with the money. It has everything to do with your quality of lifestyle and family. Family has always been important to me. I never work on Sundays, and I do take nights and weekends off. I'm with my friends. You can see it on Facebook, and it's a lot of fun. But I see some people like trying to get that extra edge with the bonus time or whatever, and I tell all my audiences, if you can't pull it off in 6 days, the one extra day isn't going to make the difference. If you're not effective 5 days a week, you're not magically going to get more productive on day six. So when I set the goal out, I wanted to do a 4K show filmed live daily, which was pretty insane. And I wasn't even thinking about anything other than, holy crap, I need to start racing. When it came to launch, I realized the promotion and talking about it. And it occurred to me, I go, I don't want to be promoting business stuff Saturday and Sunday. I haven't promoted business stuff on Saturday and Sunday in 10, 15, 20 years, maybe, if not longer. I mean, if someone asked me something, maybe I would have done something on a Saturday, but I wasn't promoting it. But with the show, every time you have an episode, you're promoting it. And I'm like, my core values were just like incongruent. I go, I got to change this. So now, Saturdays, we do Q&A about live stream publishing and podcasting or pretty much any business stuff. But I focus around that just to keep it pointed. Q&A Saturday and then expert authority insights on Sunday. You know, some of the behind the scenes, you know, what are the CEOs talking about behind? Like, for example, this episode 18 is FEMS PR, financial, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, and relational. How does this all play out in your business and personal life? And I did a whole episode on it. So this is one of the insights. Another one is block 15 time. A lot of people say, I don't have a lot of time. Well, you have the same 24 hours in a day and 168 hours in a week as everyone else. Are you utilizing it? So something I've taught for a while is a concept I came up with called block 15 time. Block your day off. There's 96 opportunities a day to have 15 minute increments to maybe do an interview. Maybe you use two of those for an interview, maybe three, but that's better than staring at your email inbox and going, oh, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
You only really need 3-4 hours a day to be productive and move forward. The rest, most people waste anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll take 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes turns into 10 minutes, turns into half an hour, scrolling through Facebook, watching a TV show for the fifth time or something. I like that. there are opportunities. You know, the day is full of opportunities and you have the same time as everybody else. Use it wisely.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to act like I'm perfect and do everything right. If you want to watch the show, put it on a second monitor over here or a third one over there. But make sure, but the second I go into block 15 time, it's like pause, turn the phone on airplane mode. And, you know, I've been doing that with the editing. You can spend 3-4 hours editing if you're just, oh, I'll do it casually. And I get why people do it. And they're like, oh, I just answer emails when I'm relaxing. Well, great. You're spending 4 hours to do what you can do in 20 minutes. Focus for those 20 minutes. Be present here. And then go for a walk for 3 hours and truly relax. I don't think you can relax with your laptop on the couch. Like, I don't get that, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. So speaking of time, I was thinking about your, when we were talking about the podcast process and when you were talking about doing it yourself at first, so you get a better feel for the process. So do you now, are you outsourcing any of that process besides video? I don't think I asked if you were specifically outsourcing now any of it.
The audio I'm still editing.
Okay.
And I'm enjoying it because, well, it's getting a lot easier now.
Yeah.
Only took dozens and dozens of episodes. But yeah, the audio I can do relatively quick now, and also with the new setup and everything. And I've noticed, even in real life, I'm hearing more, if that makes sense. Because now I'm training myself to listen and do different things that when I'm just looking around or in settings, I've noticed I'm hearing more, just like, what was that? And people are like, how the heck did you hear that from across the room with all this other noise? And it's because when I'm zeroing in on the episode, I'm going, is my guest breathing? Well, I hope they are.
Yeah.
But you're picking up different things. So it's been interesting. I wanted to outsource the first 10 or 20 because it was taking a long time. And now I think I just hit my fastest edit time just last week with one of them, and I was like looking around going, is this it? I'm done? Because it felt like I was only a third done, because that's how long it was. It took me literally 2/3 less time now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, like with any other skill, with time, you get better, you know, you get faster, you develop systems. So you said you're still doing the audio editing. Are you outsourcing other things? Like, do you have show notes for your podcast or anything like that?
Absolutely. 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 To all of the above. Yes, I have the show notes. Yes, I'm outsourcing the, the transcription and cleaning them up and the video and pretty much everything I can. And I'm working with some now for social media management, because that was another thing. I was spending so much time producing the show and doing all this, and at first I was doing all of it and I'm going, holy smokes, this is, even when I get it to a point of efficiency, it's still a lot of work. Yeah. So I was like, what can I do that no one else can? And obviously it's host the show and do the interview. And I go, what actually can I offload? And the show notes is a good place. I would say if anyone's looking for somewhere to start, for sure, the show notes, because anyone can watch you and transcribe it and clean it up. And you should focus on, I would say, the production of the show. I would also say the editing and the rest of it. Social media, the biggest thing isn't, I don't understand it. The biggest thing is with the daily show, loading up even 1 month's worth of content or a few weeks, it's like you have to pinpoint all of that, the tagging, the keywords, the hashtags, is it written, is there spelling errors? I mean, it takes a good amount of time just to promote one show. Based on my tracking on all the different platforms, upwards of 20 to 25 minutes. If you just slap it on there, so be it. But if you do it proper, it's going to take you a fair amount of time every episode, which is daily in my case. And I was looking at it going, 1 hour of my time for 3 episodes. And that's like the best case scenario, maybe 4, if I can fit it in a block 15 time. I'm like, this is still a lot of work. So
yeah,
finding better solutions for that too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always different ways you can use your time, and the show notes, that's definitely something I agree that you can outsource, because it's not part of the creative process, I don't think necessarily, because it's just the show notes, you know, it's just a transcription or some bullet points or something like that. And it's always nicer to focus on the things that you may enjoy more and the thing that only you can do, which is record the episode, first of all. And the audio editing, yeah, you can outsource, but it is nice to be familiar, like we talked about, with that whole process.
Yeah, as far as outsourcing goes, I wasn't against hiring people and I wasn't against doing it myself. I wasn't against any one thing. I was going, what's the most effective? What's the highest ROI? And you're looking at one of them. This was the first thing I outsourced, because a lot of the audio issues, when people go, oh, I don't want to spend more on a mic, I've noticed there's this like just mindset with, oh, I don't want to spend more than X amount. It's fixed most of the problems. A lot of the audio editing early on was because it was just the wrong type of mic.
Wow. Okay.
A condenser omnidirectional is going to pick up everything in the room. When you go with a dynamic like this with negative 40 rear rejection, it's only picking up my voice. So that solved probably 40 to 50% of the editing issues to begin with. Separating the tracks was another 20 or 30%. And of course, I mean, there's always going to be some sort of editing, but some of these episodes was like click, click, click. I'm like, that's it. I had to wrap my head around how easy it was, because some of the first ones I spent 4, 5, 6 hours remastering the audio, basically, because there were so many artifacts just being picked up. Once I got the new mic here, I was like, wish I would have done this sooner.
Yeah. And I know that sometimes people are concerned about if they don't have money in the budget for a great mic like that. And I know that it's not something that's necessary to start a podcast. You can start the podcast and spend more time in the editing process if you have not as nice of a mic. But at some point in the process, it would be nice to get the right equipment, the nicest quality of equipment, you know. But I know at the beginning, it's not, I mean, especially at the beginning, as long as you start, that's what matters. You know, I mean, I'd rather have content out there that I recorded on not as nice of a mic and not as nice of a camera than wait until I have that equipment to actually start. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And for anyone listening to this, I'll say start where you're at for sure. Because my first episode was on camera one, the next two were on camera two, and then the rest, I moved everything up real quick because I realized what it was going to do. So you don't need it to start, but do realize if you're committing to it, I find a lot of people go, well, I don't want to spend all this money. And everyone has a different amount. I have clients where they're like, well, I don't have a lot for the project. And not a lot to them is $5,000. And then other people, not a lot is $50 to $500. It all depends. You don't need the best, but find the point where it's going to be most advantageous. For example, this is the Heil PR40. It was like $400 for the mic alone. You may not need that, but if you have something like the ATR 2100, which is also a dynamic mic, it's going to help you leaps and bounds. And those are like $60 or $70. If you can't commit for $50, $60 and don't realize, yes, you can do it in the editing, but how much is your time worth? If you're more apt to spending 20 hours in editing than spending $50, you're not really valuing your time too much. Same thing with the camera. I love talking about this because they're one-time investments. The camera and the microphone, you don't need to buy every week, just like setting up the app and all of that. It's a one-time deal. Get it out of the way, do it right. And the other thing is, you can monetize all this. You can get sponsorships, you can get affiliate agreements, you can get just local companies to say, hey, I'll shout you out a few times on the show. If you were to say 70 for the mic and 70 for the webcam, throw in $10 for some wiring, I mean, if you can't get someone to give you $100 or $200, then I'd say focus on sales more than anything. But at the end of the day, that's what's beautiful about this, is you can get people to help you and support you and maybe throw in another 60 for one of those deals. But at the end of the day, you don't need thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to pull this off. But if you can't come up with a couple hundred, it's more of a commitment level, I believe, than anything. And even though I did start there, I mean, you can see in a matter of, when did I get this camera? Somewhere between the first few episodes, you'll see a drastic improvement real quick. And I kept that pace up because after one episode, I go, wow, I got to fix this. And literally it was like that the next day I went out and I just started fixing all this because I didn't want the next 20. I wanted it to basically this level of quality from day one. And I did it as quick as I possibly could.
Yeah. Yeah. And the quality, you want to have as good as quality as you can. And you want to be able to commit. It really is a commitment, having a podcast, even from the beginning. Even though you may not get the most high-end equipment you can, you got to get something. So you don't need to get the cheapest equipment, but you know you can commit to getting something $100, couple hundred dollars. It's just a one-time thing. You invest the once, and then there's your mic, there's your camera. You're good to go. So, yeah. So as we reach the end of the podcast, as we begin to wrap up, I like to ask everyone the same question. And that would be for those listeners out there who are still unsure about whether or not a podcast would be right for them and their business, what would you say to them? What would be your number one tip?
I would say you should do it, but don't do it for the sake of doing it. Do it for the sake of knowing it's part of a bigger plan. I have helped people, my company, we did podcast editing. We helped them promote the show. We did the marketing. And I've helped maybe around a dozen people with that over the years. And I've known about podcasting for a while, but why now? Why now? I had to be ready for it. Now, truthfully, same thing with publishing a book when I help my clients with that. You're never ready. But there's a difference from I'm going to do one just because everyone else is doing one to I am going to commit to doing this for a couple of years short term and really do it at the highest level and really commit and really add value and really do it for the right reasons. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what I should say. Do it for the right reasons. That's what it is. My reasons now are the right reasons, not because everyone else was. So while you don't need to do everything in HD video on a daily routine, it is easier now than ever. And I thought about this many times during editing going, oh my gosh, I have so many more, but I was excited. I'm like, yeah, I have so many more, but they still need to get edited. I've cranked out a year's worth of content in a couple of months. Now, when you're going through them daily, you're going to use them up quicker. But the reality is if you can't commit 1 to 2 months to create a year's worth of content, you probably just don't care that much. So don't do it. If you're going to do it, if you have any inkling of just, and see what happens, wrong mindset. If you go, you know what? I have some books. I do speaking. This is a good compliment. I'm glad I can do it on maybe 8-10 hours a week and create enough content for 6 months at least. Maybe I don't need to do it on video. I'll just do them all on the phone. I would probably have two to three times as many interviews if they weren't on video, just with all the logistics behind it. But this is what I committed to and the vision I was given. So I would say do it for the right reasons and do it when you know you can commit, even if it's short term. A year's worth of content for 1 or 2 months, you probably spend more time on that checking your email.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good advice. Just jump in, do it for the right reasons, and do what's right for you. And that usually includes a podcast if you're willing to put in the work, for sure. So for those listeners who are interested in what you have to say and interested in what it is that you do, how can they get in touch with you?
EAinterviews.com.
There you go. Yeah, I'll have that up in the show notes and people can check you out through that link. So thank you so much for being on the show. You shared a lot of value today. And I think me and all my listeners, we learned a lot.
Well, I do appreciate it, Evan. It was a pleasure, and I'm such an honor that you even asked me. Congrats on your launch.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.